Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Yolanda Hill Ashford, and I will be presenting to you information on our program and how we have around a partnership developed a training for our community health workers. And so this is aligning key stakeholders to develop core competency training for community health workers working to address infant mortality in Detroit. I have no relevant financial relationships, and there's no conflict. So before we get started, I thought it would be smart to let you know what you'll be walking away with today. We're going to talk about the program that the partnership developed the training for our community health workers, and then we're going to talk about how the partnership approached doing just that, developing the training, and then the training components itself, and the usefulness of training community health workers. Before we talk about the partnership, I thought I'd give you a little history. In 2007, the CEOs of four major health systems joined together to look at infant mortality and to discuss how it is that they can make things better in Detroit. Too many babies die in Detroit before their first birthday. So the CEOs thought, we have to work together. They laid aside their differences and the fact that they are competitors and decided to come together to, in fact, develop a program or develop actions around infant mortality. And then in 2008, the Detroit Regional Infant Mortality Reduction Task Force was born. The task force is chaired by Dr. Kimberly Don Wisdom, who is actually this nation's first state-level Surgeon General, and who has joined me, if I can point her out in the session. Wave, Dr. Wisdom. is that type of leadership that is around the table to discuss infant mortality reduction in Detroit, or who are part of the task force. So we have the Detroit Medical Center, Henry Ford Health System, Oakwood Healthcare System, St. John Providence Health System, and I wanted to list those four, name those four. You guys can read the rest specifically because those are the four major health systems that came together initially. But as you can see, we have a great representation of a diverse group of people, and I think they really represent Detroit, but not only do they represent Detroit, they're actually senior leadership, and we wanted to make sure that leadership was around the table because we didn't want to just come up with ideas that then they would have to take back to the table to be decided, and then in the decision-making process, things get lost. We wanted to have the decision-makers at the table from the beginning. We also, you know, like to point out again that the diversity represents the clinical care as a system, public health, universities, and some non-governmental leadership in our area. And the task force, the first thing they did when they came together is they surveyed the land. They looked at Detroit and tried to get an understanding of what it actually existed to address infant deaths or low birth weight and preterm death or preterm birth. And what they found is that there were over 100 programs already in existence in Detroit to address infant mortality. And so you would figure with 100 programs working in Detroit, we shouldn't have a problem, but yet we do. And so we also noted that these programs were underutilized and that in looking at where do we move or where do we go from there, we realized too that we didn't need just another program. What we needed to do was sew up the safety net that already existed in Detroit. And so the beautiful program that I managed was born called Sew Up the Safety Net. And Sew Up the Safety Net is an infant mortality reduction program, and Sew Up the Safety Net hired or used the community health worker approach to address this problem. But before I tell you anything else about Sew Up the Safety Net, I also wanted to tell you that we had focus groups done in the community, and when we introduced the name Sew Up the Safety Net to the community people, they didn't get it. Sew Up the Safety Net works in the public health sphere. It works around certain professionals. They automatically get it, but in the community, not so much. So we actually had to change the name. And, well, I shouldn't say change the name. We rebranded ourselves and marketed ourselves differently in the community. So we're Sew Up the Safety Net in certain genres, and we're Women Inspired Neighborhood Network Detroit in the community. And that name resonates quite well with the community. They love it. They say they feel inspired. We even have a wonderful logo that represents the community that we serve. But in coming up with Throw Up the Safety Net, Women Inspired Neighborhood Network Detroit, we actually then had to figure out how do we move towards training these community health workers. The task force has all kinds of roles, and of course, not just to come up with the training, but they had to address infant mortality, and they had to be able to connect with non-traditional and understand non-traditional contributors to health, advocate for policy and system level changes, specifically around the social determinants of health or reimbursement services provided to community health workers. So their roles expanded far beyond the training that we wanted to develop for the community health workers, but that was very key, sharing data and then the training development itself. So the task force member roles were laid out for the task force member, and the training was a big one. I'm sorry, before I move on to that one, with the training development, our task force, we actually had to look at the task force itself, and from the entire task force, we developed a subgroup or subcommittee, and what we did was we assessed the strengths of those that were part of the task force, and identified individuals with the expertise of certain levels of knowledge pertaining to the social determinants of health, literacy or health literacy, education, teaching or training, and community health workers themselves. And of course, the task force is awesome because we realized that you can't do it by yourself. We couldn't do it alone, even with the wonderful people who were at the table and the fact that they were great stakeholders and represented a large portion of Detroit. We also knew that we needed a certain level of community partners that all of them weren't necessarily brought to the task force table, but we certainly went to their table with our program. And so we have people like Assurance Wireless and Black Family Development, and if I could just skip around a little bit, we are actually operating in three communities in Detroit, and so from all those three communities, they have alliances, and Brightmoor, which is Northwest Detroit Alliances on there, as well as Chatsy-Conda Community Organization, which is Southwest Detroit, and the Osborne Neighborhood Alliance, which is on the east side of Detroit. And Tomorrow's Child, United Way 211, Voices of Detroit, and then there are countless people who aren't listed because of when this slide was developed. We're continuously forging partnerships, and not just for the sake of the training, obviously, but for the sake of the program, because it truly, truly takes a partnership to do any type of work with women and pulling them together. So why this training? Why are we doing this? What is the point? We have three objectives within Throw Up the Safety Net Women Inspired Neighborhood Network Detroit. And the first objective, and this is a real quick overview, is that we were going to have to recruit 1,500 women in Detroit who were African American between the ages of 18 and 34. Then we would have to do a healthcare equity training for 500 providers that include physicians, health educators, nurses, anyone who cares for the population that we are servicing. And then we want to embark upon educational supportive products to promote good health. So because our program focuses on in three communities and on African American women who are between the ages of 18 and 34, that leaves a whole lot of people who won't get our services. But we wanted to develop educational materials and things that the broader community could benefit from. Okay, so now that you kind of have an idea of what we were doing, we can kind of get back to the training and the training needs. For the purpose of the rest of this presentation, I do want to focus in on objective one. And again, our community health workers that we call community and neighborhood navigators have to recruit 1,500 African-American women between the ages of 18 and 34. Of those 1,500 women, 375 will be pregnant, and 1,125 will not be pregnant. And so building on the strength of community health workers already, and we did target women or community health workers who had gone through a training that was provided by one of our partners. And one of the partners that sit on the task force had given a 6-week baseline training on community health workers. So they already had the basics from from this training of community health workers. But our navigators, this is huge because they're transforming the lives of at-risk women, and babies. Okay, but why community health workers, you say? Did you all say that? No. Just wanted to give you a word. Community health workers that they are frontline workers, and I know I might be preaching to the choir here, but they can even easily navigate communities and systems. They speak the language, they know the communities, they understand the resources, and they know where these resources are in their communities, and they do serve as that liaison between agencies, organizations who have resources, and the community who needs them. Okay. And addressing the social determinants of health. Now, we know that that's a tall order, and even those of us who have been trained in certain genres, we don't necessarily all know everything about the social determinants of health. But when you're training community health workers and you want to reach women who don't see physicians, who are not using the services that are available for them in the community, you need someone to speak the language that they speak. So when you're getting out there and you're telling the women about how their education or how where they live, work, play, or how their income level affects their health outcomes, you need somebody who can convey that message. All of these things are things that the task force had to keep in mind when we started to develop the training. And closing the gap between social and clinical resources. Again, the navigators are usually leaders in the community, and we did recruit women who are from the communities that we're targeting. And this makes them unique because they know systems. They know the community-based organizations, they know the hospitals, they know the schools, they know the health departments, and they know how to navigate those. Okay, so as the task force started to develop this training and we knew what we had to do, now we had to figure out how we were going to do that. So we had to develop the exact role of a CNN. And again, a CNN is what we call our community health workers for our program, Community and Neighborhood Navigators. And our CNNs were responsible for recruitment and enrollment, and this entails a lot. And most of the competencies that had to be developed around recruitment and enrollment deal with building relationships and communication or effective communication and things like that. Mentoring pregnant women. This is mentoring is a tall order, but it's beautiful because, again, we have community health workers who are from the community. They know the talk. They walk the walk in many cases, and they're able to even lay out a platform for goal setting or a framework for goal setting as they mentor women. They are taking these women by the hands and helping them to understand how to live a healthy lifestyle in order to have a healthy pregnancy and then a healthy baby outcome. Connecting women with resources and support and the competencies that were considered when looking at what that role or what that task intended really consisted around a lot of advocacy, literacy, and things of that nature. And then group sessions to promote social networks, virtual connections, education, and support. And our whole platform for the CNNs when they are mentoring women, whether they're pregnant or not pregnant, is to introduce a pre- and interconception health so that they can live a healthy lifestyle. Okay? The beauty of having this task force is that there's a lot of talent at the table. And so we were able to identify the members of the task force who were called to the table and help them and utilize the skills that they have in order to develop our training. Again, you know, we had this with the cross-system training, there was the four-week intensive community health worker competency training. Our Michigan Public Health Training Center that's at the task force table also provided computer training. St. John Providence offered basics of infant parent partnership model, which is a model that we modeled our program after, and they helped with the equity training, and other partner organizations also contributed. But again, the task force is the key, and the partnership is the key at how this training was developed. So what was the training? Okay, so we had 21 core training sessions that community health workers or community and neighborhood navigators were trained on in our program. And you won't see all 21 listed here, but they all centered around infant mortality and morbidity, theories of health behavior. Because we were dealing with health inequities, we introduced unnatural causes and the social determinants of health, recruitment strategies, Medicaid enrollment, program protocols, so things that help them to reach those outcomes that we were aiming for. But then, of course, as we started to get out in the field and started to learn, the task force recognized that there is additional training opportunities that we had to get into, things that you've kind of heard already, grocery store tours, walking clubs, staff development, data collection. We have DatStat on here. I guess I should mention that DatStat is a web-based data system that we use with our program that the navigators who are community health workers needed a little bit more training on. Stress reduction and management, this is key, and I love that the task force actually recognized that with community health workers that it's stressful being engaged with other women in their lives and their everyday issues. And then as a community health worker, you still have your own issues in your own life. So that's been really good. Legal aid and child protective services, social media, and time management. And of course, training is ongoing. 3 minutes. I thought I was doing good. So we actually had an evaluation of our training. And the training, again, consisted of 21 separate topics in the beginning. And so of the community health workers that were trained, 96% agreed that all the information they gained met their expectations and that they would be able to apply the knowledge in the field. And for me, this is really core and key because we have community health workers. The task force was able to hone in on the skill sets that they knew that these community health workers already need and then target skills that they thought they would be able to use, and the community health workers agreed that it was good. Also key, and a common theme that came out, included that information gained will help them connect better in the community. And I thought that was awesome because they already know how to connect with women in the community. And so to train them, instead of getting all neutral, like, yeah, this was okay, we were actually able to get a really, really high score on that. And I like to point out that it really was the task force that helped everybody to understand the needs in terms of communication that led to those results. Lessons learned, plenty. Balancing competing priorities of contributing organizations. We know that with all of the brilliant minds around the table of this partnership, we had to make sure that the outcomes was well balanced with what people were bringing to the table and what they saw as the biggest need. Most people felt like they had worked with community health workers in their organization that's what the community health workers were. And this kind of leads into the second one, understanding the role for participating trainers. Community health workers' role falls outside of the realm of what you may have used them for, what this organization may have used them for. So, for instance, if someone on the task force had used community health workers to promote diabetes, that would be their understanding and knowledge of what the community health workers should be doing, just promoting, when in fact we know it's a whole lot more to a relationship building. It's a whole lot more to navigating and understanding community and things like that. Depend on the expertise of the team to facilitate training. Again, we had a lot of skills and a lot of talent at the table, but it wasn't until we got into the training that we started to pull people from the task force to actually facilitate those trainings. Relationships should not be with an individual, but with the organization. People leave, faces change, but usually the organizations stay the same. So if you are building a training or anything around a partnership, make sure that relationship is with the organization. And community health workers should be involved with the training. They kind of came in towards the end, but they should have been involved in the beginning. And ongoing review is essential. So once the subcommittee started to meet, what that last bullet point meant is that we should have continued to meet once the training was actually over. So what have the community health workers or the community and neighborhood navigators been doing in Detroit? We have really been reaching a lot of women. We've had some great successes. This information is from September. Our pregnant enrollment closed out as of the end of September, October 1. And I'm happy to say that these numbers have even grown tremendously since then. Very great successes. We started non-pregnant enrollments at the beginning of October, so we hope to see a whole lot of more numbers go up from there. Okay? Thank you very much. And there's our logo for the new program.